We talked to you a little bit about our sponsor. It's iTarget Pro. You know, iTarget Pro, you want to be good with your gun. You have to have it in your hand, and you have to have good trigger control. Trigger control is the biggest thing, because when you pull that trigger, you usually will go down or to the left or to the right, and you need good trigger control. That's just coming from firing that thing over and over again. Well, you can now do this without going to the range with iTarget Pro. You put a little teeny device in, it's like the size of a bullet, and you can now, quote, shoot your gun without any discharge. It just discharges a laser light onto a target in your home. It projects that onto your cell phone, and it's target practicing at home from your couch. It's great. Saves a ton of money. iTarget Pro. You just go to iTargetPro.com. That's iTargetPro.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The Covington Catholic School. This story felt important to me from the moment we saw it, and it is only gaining in importance. This is, you know, I talk about the Archduke Ferdinand moment. This is a moment. This is a moment in our history, and in very important a moment, because there are characteristics of this story that stand out and are different than any other story we have covered. And I want to take this apart piece by piece, because America, you are at a very important threshold. Where do you stand? We begin the show in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
My Patriot Supply. When you put money in your 401k or your IRA, what are you doing? You're preparing for a day when, you know, things change in your life and you retire. You purchase health insurance. What are you doing? You're preparing for, God forbid, the day you get cancer or you're in a car accident. Fire insurance. You're preparing, God forbid, for the day that your house burns down. Flood insurance. It's all the same. So why is it crazy to have, you know, some sort of food insurance? To be able to have food that is from My Patriot Supply stored. Our grandparents did it. You're just doing it in a modern way.
I mean, the government recommends it.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, they recommend you have food in case of a hurricane or a terrible storm or a zombie apocalypse. I'm pretty sure they're on that board.
Yeah,
on that
they
one
are.
Too.
They are. Mm-hmm. My Patriot Supply. This week, they're offering a food kit that averages 2,000 calories a day for 4 weeks. A 4 week food kit, 2,000 calories a day. You can live on it. Go prepare. With Glenn, go to preparewithglenn.com and prepare. You'll save $100 on this food kit today. 4 week food kit, breakfast, lunch, dinners, last up to 25 years, 2,000 calories a day. Preparing with My Patriot Supply. It's the smart thing to do. Do it now. Preparewithglenn.com. Be prepared for what might come next. Preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Jeez. I don't know if you're going to be able to count on your neighbors coming up. I felt this was an important story on the Covington Catholic School since the moment I saw it. But there are things about this that stand out. First, I think we're all disappointed at how fast everybody jumped on the bandwagon to bash this kid. But in a society of virtue signaling, you can kind of understand. But I was disappointed with how fast moderates and conservatives and the Catholic Church itself jumped immediately to attack this kid. That's a really bad sign. And I think it's a result of an entire generation of virtue signaling. It's not good. We collectively have no chance against future mobs if our own will turn on their own just to virtue signal. You have no chance. If no one will give you the benefit of the doubt without hearing the evidence, we have no chance. I also think what sets this apart, this is the first time not really not really evident to the average person. This is the first time that the media has full on knowingly lied to perpetuate a story. And I don't mean knowingly, they knowing us. Usually there's some shadow of a doubt. Usually there's some reason. Usually there's something. We've all heard stories, and there's always something you're like, there's just this nagging feeling. Well, yeah, but maybe I'm not really sure. So you stand up and support what you think, but you could be pushed down. Because there's always some piece that seems to be missing. This is the first time I have seen one that the facts of the story were always there. The evidence that the story was wrong was out about as early as the story itself. And the media knew on this one. They knew. They saw this as an opportunity. Whether it happened like that or not didn't matter. But something's changing. This is the Kavanaugh story. We asked ourselves, are we going to learn from this? Nope. We said, what happens when this is your son or daughter? Remember? What happens when this? Well, this is someone's son. This is a minor. This isn't Kavanaugh, who did something 40 years ago that none of us could prove. See, with Kavanaugh, we still had to go with our gut and our common sense. And some people's gut went the other way. Some people said, no, you know what? I just believe her. And it kind of fell down on party lines, but not universally so. Anyone honest could come to a different conclusion. On this one, no. There's no way. So this is Kavanaugh on steroids.
Yeah, because you think if we happen to have 40 different viewpoints of the entire party that supposedly happened that Kavanaugh was at, it would have been easy to decipher what actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here, we have 40 cameras, and they still can't seem to figure it out. It almost hints at some dishonesty. Almost. I know I'm reaching there.
Right,
but
sure.
It almost seems like they're just fitting this to their narrative, no matter the cost to this poor 16-year-old kid.
So here's the thing. The media knew on this one. They saw this as just an opportunity. Whether it happened like the way they said or not, it didn't matter. There's more disturbing stuff about that I'll get to in a second. This is also the first time the mob of millions has gone after a child. Now, let me say this. Do you remember just last week there was this picture of a naked trans man standing next to a trans child that has been performing in strip clubs? No one in the media had anything to say about that behavior or their parents. No one said anything. But a kid smiling. Apparently, we can read the mind of that kid. The kid smiling, even though all of the 2 hours of video evidence show that's not what was happening there. That was unacceptable to the media. That they had to preach. We've never gone after some kid. Especially, the mob never attacked some kid, especially just for smiling. If I give the left the grace of trying to frame their point of view in my mind, the most harsh charge I can come up with is that he smiled at someone. And then the rest of it, you just have to fill in the blanks. Even if you did smile at someone, is that enough to destroy him? To say you wanted to push him into a wood chipper? To offer free oral sex to anyone who will punch him in the face, to offer signed copies of all of my albums if somebody will just beat him up? Is it enough? That's smiling? Are you comfortable with your child smiling? Could be innocent, might not be. For the millions of Americans to take a picture of your child, interpret it any way they wanted, true or not, and then target your child for death? This is an attempt to destroy an innocent person. This is an attempt to destroy an innocent child and intimidate anyone who won't go along with a mob. This isn't the first time, but it's recent than even after the evidence, the hard left, Hollywood and others aren't budging. They will not accept the fact. This is new. In my opinion on this, this is new. Usually the hard left will not accept the fact, but they cannot convince half of the country. When the evidence is clear and people have made a mistake, usually they say, oh, I'm sorry, made a mistake. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is really disturbing, is the media and social media jumped on it, just like they did with the Obama picture. I'm sorry, of the jail pictures of the kids. Okay, they jumped on that. Then they immediately apologized. But what did they learn from that? Wait, don't apologize. We're wrong about this, but we're actually right about it because it's still going on. So here the media and social media and the left have said, he's a horrible monster. Oh, the evidence shows he's not a horrible monster. Well, I'm sure he's a horrible monster some way or another. Let's get him. And so now they're going to find any way they can to prove that they weren't wrong on Friday. They just weren't right about it in that instance. He is a horrible monster. This school is a horrible place. We know it. And how do we know it? He was wearing a hat. You know, Martin Luther King on last Monday, it was the anniversary of Martin Luther King saying, don't judge me by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character. Now, it's not even skin color. It's a hat color. Don't judge me by the color of my hat, but by the content of my character. On the same day, Martin Luther King Day, just a few steps away from where he made that dream, where he proclaimed that dream and spoke it into possibility of existence. They're not even judging on skin color. At best, this is the best example of widespread hate speech and active threats of harm delivered over Twitter and Facebook, where the companies refuse to police people, I've seen. You could say whatever you want about these kids. Facebook and Twitter, they don't care. How many people would they have to ban if they had to enforce this? I believe they realize that if they actually police the left would rise up and strike them back hard. They're not going to take on the left. Look at how much hate, how much vitriol has been preached. One journalist finally got fired. But look what he had to say to get fired, although he also still has a Twitter account. Here it is. I don't know what it says about me, but I've truly lost the ability to articulate the hysterical rage, nausea, and heartache this makes me feel. I just want these people to die. Simple as that. Every single one of them die, and their parents. Now, this guy lost his job, but the Twitter account remains. We saw something else with this story. It's like if you took the intersectionality foundation being built over the last decade and put it in a petri dish, this story is what it would grow. If you're a Women's March protester, you frame this kid as just another Kavanaugh, just another rapist in the making. I have seen these hundreds of times online. The 20-year challenge. Putting that kid side by side with Kavanaugh. If you were a Black Lives Matter supporter, you saw him as a KKK member. Here's Alyssa Milano. The red MAGA hat is the new white hood. Just saw somebody on CNN say, I just am triggered by those hats. It's the new hood. Without white boys being able to empathize with other people, humanity will continue to destroy itself. If you're one of the idiots that think some secret patriarchal cabal is keeping people down, you see him just as part of the patriarchy. Here's another one. Racism is in boomer death throes. It will die out with this younger generation. Look at the crap-eating grins on all those young white slugs. Faces, just perverse pleasure at wielding a false dominion that they've been taught their whole life was their divine right. Just effing die. If you think millennials don't respect war vets, and by that I mean leftists who masquerade as if they care about such thing, you had an angle too. If you just hate Trump, the kid was the embodiment of what Trump has done to the country. So the kid doesn't get to just defend himself. He doesn't get to defend what he actually did. I mean, how do you defend smiling? He has to defend against being a rapist, a Klan member, a conservative, a Trump supporter, a patriarchy member, being a male, being white, whatever the hell they want to say. We're going to introduce the real villains in this story that no one will seem to talk about when we come back. In 1 minute, Simply Safe is our sponsor. I want to talk to you a little bit about Simply Safe and what a great company this is. And one of the reasons why I love this company is it's run by a guy who started the company. He was up, I think, at MIT. And he was a tinkerer. And his whole family line has been tinkerers. They've been inventors. And his grandfather, I don't remember what it was, but invented something that went into our World War II tanks that helped us win the Second World War. And he always looked at his grandfather as a hero and an amazing inventor. And he always wanted to do something that would help America and be like his grandfather. So he did. This one kind of came by accident, but he invented Simply Safe. And it is changing the way people keep their families and their homes safe. It is all 100% wireless. It's state-of-the-art technology. There are no contracts. There's no wires. There's no strings attached. You own the system. And if you want the monitoring, it's month by month, so you can cancel it anytime. It's $14.99 a month. This is such a great deal, and it is such a great system. Only from the mind of a great American tinkerer who has a long tradition of helping Americans. It's Simply Safe. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Save 10% at simplysafebeck.com. We break now for 10 seconds station ID. You know, it's amazing to me. The kids that are killing kids in Chicago, we don't care. Seattle, there were these 16-year-olds had a shootout as they were robbing a gas station yesterday at gunpoint. Barely made the news. Nobody cares. But this smiling kid, did you see him on the Today Show? He looks terrified. Now, if I were the parent, I don't think I would have gone on the Today Show. I mean, he did fine, but that kid looked terrified, and he should.
It's also a hostile environment. I know the one clip NBC decided to push out as a promo was, do you want to apologize for what you did? That was their big question.
Apologize.
Of any question that you could ask this kid, their question was, do you want to apologize?
Look at the way the left, you know what? See if we can have somebody in the office compile all of the times people on the left said, how dare you take apart these Parkland shooter kids, these kids. Mm. I'd really like to see, where are they now? Those kids
are, they're absolutely not off limits anymore. That's for sure.
Nope.
kids are fine to go after.
Yep.
For nothing, by the
get
way.
Get
them. I mean, think about just how insane what you just said a minute ago is. A person, multiple people get shot, get killed in incidents all across the country. And we're spending this much time on a kid who wore a hat and maybe smiled. I mean, you know, it's important for us to cover it because if not, this kid's life is destroyed. But if the truth doesn't come out, his life is destroyed. But it makes no sense that this was a story in the first place. Mm-hmm. As I said the other day, even if he did say build the wall, even if he flipped off all the Native Americans, even if he was a jerk, and even if he was a racist, and even if he was the worst person you can think of that you could possibly be at 16 years old in high school, it is certainly not a national news story. It is certainly not even a local news story. If anything, it is a conversation between the principal and the parents afterwards. If he really had done something wrong, it is not a national news story that even if he was a punk, that high school students are occasionally punks. It happens.
If he weren't wearing the MAGA hat, it would not be a story.
Nope.
Would not be a story. This is all about the government closure, the media wanting desperately just to destroy Donald Trump. And they'll do anything to destroy Donald Trump.
Joy Behar admitted it.
Yeah. Can we play that clip? Do we have that clip? She was on The View yesterday and Whoopi Goldberg said, how come? Why? I mean, why is this a story? Why would we all jump to the conclusion? What does that say about us? And here's what Joy Behar said.
People admitted they made snap judgments before these other facts came in.
Other facts.
But is it that we just instantly say that's what it is based on what we see in that moment and then have to walk stuff back when it turns out we're wrong? Why is that? Do we keep making the same mistake?
Because we're desperate to get Trump out of office.
Listen to that. Those are mothers. Those are mothers. These could be your sons. And by the way, just something else for Whoopi Goldberg. When you say other facts, is that kind of like alternative facts?
It wasn't other facts. It was the facts were there the whole time.
Right.
The videos were there
the whole time. I think that's the point you made. There are no alternative facts. There are just facts. You choose to only see a few.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. Relief factor. You're in constant pain. Well, one thing you can do is just stop paying attention to the rest of the world. I bet that's causing a lot of pain. Anyway, 50 million people spend their lives in constant pain here in America. And, you know, there's pain where you just can't take it anymore. And I have been to that level and I have gotten blessed relief. And, you know, will it last my whole life? I don't know. But I've had it for at least a year now, and I've got it from Relief Factor, and it's 100% drug-free. It's created by doctors. 3-week quick start is all I took. Cost me $20. My wife said, take it. If it doesn't work, then stop taking it. I did. And I've gone on to order a year's worth, month after month, because it works. ReliefFactor.com. Get out of pain now.
Thank you. Thank you for making it possible for us to do the research on this story. You made it possible by subscribing to The Blaze. BlazeTV.com/Beck. Promo code is Beck.
We welcome Pat Gray to the Glenn Beck program.
Woo!
Pat, what is in your stack of stuff that
I think probably a lot of the same things that is in yours? I'm really... Yeah. Really hacked off about this Covington kid thing. The media just they won't stop with these kids, even though it's all been disproved. Even though they did zero wrong, they're still looking for a way to persecute these kids. The Savannah Guthrie, I know you guys mentioned it. Did you actually see the interview? Listen to this part.
No, I saw part of it.
Listen to her asking him whether or not he has anything to apologize for.
Do you feel from this experience that you owe anybody an apology? Do you see your own fault?
Look at that kid.
No. In any way?
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so.
My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing.
So, look at how terrified that kid.
He's terrified.
That looks like my son.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, am I sorry? Yeah, I'm sorry I did this interview, Putin. I'm sorry I agreed to come
in. I don't know if he would have said Putin if that would have helped things.
I'm sorry Nathan Phillips is such a psychopathic liar.
Truly, truly sociopathic liar.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Sociopathic liar.
Yes, he is. And I'm sorry nobody in the media has any integrity or honesty, including you, Savannah. I mean, it's crazy to watch this when you think, especially when you bring up the Parkland kids. I mean, they were vile in many of the things
they said. They were sainted.
They were knighted, screaming the F word in interviews. Yeah. They were tweeting out the F word in interviews. David Hogg was completely disrespectful to anyone who disagreed with him. He was making stuff up about Dana Lash and others. And yet, Laura Ingraham couldn't even question why he couldn't get into a college at one point. She didn't.
There is these kids trying to get into college. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They won't wind up at Harvard, I don't think, like Hogg did. That's because they're not the right political ideology.
It is terrifying what's going on right now. I think this is
This is a big deal.
I'm gonna say what I wanted to say on Monday. Because I've thought about it, because Stu has made me think about it over and over again. But I really believe that this
Stu.
I know.
makes us think about things.
This is, we are now entering the time where I will not be surprised to see someone beaten within an inch of their life in the well of the Senate. And the reason why I bring that up as an example is because I remember doing my homework on trying to figure out what was life like in America leading up to the Civil War? What did it feel like in America? In 1855, four, somewhere in that area, there was a senator who was talking about the whore that the South is sleeping with, and that whore is slavery. And it offended the South. How dare you say that about the South? And so one of the House members walked over with a silver-tipped cane and beat that senator on the floor of the Senate. No one came to his aid.
Beat him almost to death.
Almost to death. Took him years to recover. Mm-hmm. He finally came back like two or 3 years later to deliver the rest of that speech. And beat him with an inch of his life. No one stopped him. No one stopped him from leaving. He threw the cane down, left. They took the senator to the hospital. Nobody really cared about him. They never prosecuted the guy who beat him to death. In fact, they took that cane, took pieces of that cane, and they made it in necklaces. And the Democrats in the House and the Senate wore necklaces with that cane around their neck, a little teeny cane around their neck, to say, we don't care. We'll beat anybody to death that stands against us. Now, when I read that 15 years ago, I thought, that's crazy. We are a long way away. But I can see that happening. This story is a turning point for America. And you better know what side you're on. You better know. You better watch this now with your kids. In fact, we should do a special maybe on Monday that you can just watch with your kids the danger of tweeting, the danger of Facebook, the danger of smiling in public. and show our kids... Yeah. How important this is.
Because at worst, that's what the kid did. At the very worst, he smiled at the guy.
Smirked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad anyway.
It's not bad.
That was what was interesting about this one, in that, like, let's say there's been some of these, like, fights between the Proud Boys and other groups, like Antifa, right? And so you watch a Proud Boy guy, like, punch an Antifa member in the face, and they're like, look at this, they're assaulting these people outside. And then later on, you see the full video, and actually the Proud Boys were attacked first and they're defending themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's understandable to me to say, you know, maybe you have a preconceived notion of one of these groups and you say, okay, I just saw someone punch another person and that looks really bad. we didn't even see in the video this kid do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they took a bad moment out of context of a larger event. He did nothing. And they just assigned horrible intent to him for no reason.
He bought a hat.
He bought a hat.
That's it.
A hat.
He wore a hat. It's not even the smirk. It's the hat.
And it's kind of inexcusable to me. I unless I've missed it, I haven't seen the Covington Catholic School administration.
No, they haven't.
To support these
kids. And they haven't.
Still.
No, they haven't.
With all the evidence, they've still done nothing.
Right.
They're sitting
I
on
feel
their hands.
Yesterday, I had the shirt printed. So I could show my support for the Covington Catholic School and the Covington Catholic members, but I have a really hard time supporting the Catholic school and really even the Archdiocese at this point, because the Archdiocese just released a statement that said we're still looking into it before we see if there's any sanctions that need to be taken. Excuse me?
It's unbelievable.
If I were a parent there, I would be outraged.
And my kid would be out of the school.
Yeah. But I think, it's a really good school. So people are willing to give them a little extra slack because you know how hard it is to come across really good schools. But that school will be forever divided now because I believe what's happening. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing what's happening is the social justice warrior Catholic side is fighting against the traditional Catholic side. And the social justice warriors who are very, very far left in the Catholic faith are splitting this. And so I do have this word in from some people in the know, but I don't know. It's secondhand here. But I believe it to be true that they're concerned about picking a side because half of their congregation will leave. And so they don't know what to do. They want to keep everybody together and they don't know what to do. Well, you can't. I mean, there's going to be, I shall clean out mine own house first. There is going to be a cleansing and purging of those people who will not listen to the Lord's commandments. It's going to be. You have to make a choice.
Yeah, I have no... We all understand there's people that make choices. We all do. We're all imperfect, right? That you're trying to make choices, and sometimes you make the wrong ones, and you go with pragmatism over principle. I got no patience for a faith organization doing that.
No,
you should be saying principled things until there's zero people at your school.
That was Jesus.
That's what your
that's
kept
your
saying
job. Saying them until they nailed him to a tree.
Yes, they nailed him to a cross, and he was still saying principled things.
Right.
That's the whole faith is based on doing things that are unpopular in those moments to stick with those principles.
Here's the thing, because people wrote to me yesterday, "What can I do? What can I do? What can I do?" Well, I wanted to show my support. I had the T-shirt made. I want to show my support. I'm having a T-shirt made that everyone can buy, and it's already there. It's Covington Strong, and I want you to show your support. Dare to be courageous. Dare to speak the truth. This is just about a MAGA hat. This is not about these kids. Well, we need to remind ourselves, it is about the kids. It is about this community. It is about people who stood and were acting decently and principled, and they had nothing wrong. This is about Kavanaugh. This is about the border. This is about the media. This is about political correctness. This is about all of it. This story represents everything that the middle of the country is done with.
And for the administration at Covington Catholic, it has to be about is doing the right thing to defend these kids who did nothing wrong. You don't even have to play the political card. You don't have to say anything about that. They just did nothing wrong.
How many times have I said, told the story, Glenn, you misunderstand. The righteous among the nations didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with the rest of society. Don't go over the cliff. Stand. Stand on this issue. Stand. This isn't Kavanaugh. where, well, it's a horse apiece and it's your opinion, my opinion. This has evidence and proof. It happened in front of our own eyes. All you have to do is watch the raw video. You don't want to watch the raw video? Fine. Yesterday we posted all of the clips so you could see it. We told you in a TikTok so you could send it to your friends. And it, we include the full unedited video. If your friends don't want to watch it, then you know who they are. You know who they are. Disengage. Find like-minded people. You must stand on this. You must stand. Nobody's being thrown off of Twitter. Nobody's being thrown off of Facebook. I want to throw a Disney producer. I'd like to throw that kid into a wood chipper. Oh, I was joking. So he's fine. Jeez. He's fine. Imagine if I would have said, David Hogg, boy, would I love to throw that kid in a wood chipper. Would I be on the radio today?
No way.
No way. No way. Courage is contagious. Love and courage is contagious. So is hatred and vitriol and vendettas. Do not get involved in that. Stand for the truth. You want to show your support? Easy way to do it. Go to shop.theblaze.com, get a Covington Strong t-shirt and wear it. And if people come up, I can't believe. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Have you seen the facts? Here, write it just on a piece of paper. Here, go to this website. Here are all the facts. And if they don't want to listen to the facts, you know who they are. Fine. But I think you're going to be shocked at how many people come up to you go, wow.
I didn't know that.
Good for you. Good for you. Get your Covington Strong t-shirt right now. Shop.theblaze.com. Thanks, Pat. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is the Crypto Master Course. Now, the Crypto Master Course, the Smart Crypto Course, is all about blockchain and cryptocurrency. I got a letter in last night from somebody who said, I'm putting a lot of money into cryptocurrency. I don't recommend that. I don't know anybody who does recommend that. If you want to take that risk, good. But do you really understand cryptocurrency and how volatile it is? You've got tons of volatility coming your way before this thing settles down. And so if you can hang on, okay. I wouldn't invest anything that you're not prepared to lose.
Well, that's probably wise. It's very volatile, yeah, volatile. You can lose money. You can also make a lot of money.
Right. But do I believe in it? Yes, because I believe in blockchain. And I believe that cryptocurrency is the future. And I think when we start to hit, you know, runs on the bank, a lot of people who have cryptocurrency are going to go, oh, thank God I had that, because they can't touch that. They can't touch that. Your money is secure. Your money is your money. But find out all about it. Take a course and learn all about it. It was designed for you. We asked one of the guys who's the best in the business to explain, what is cryptocurrency? How does it work? Visit smartcryptocourse.com. That's smartcryptocourse.com, or call 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, or smartcryptocourse.com. I'm going to tell you about the black Hebrew nation, or what is it? What are they called again? I can never remember their name. They're vile, vile people. Or their message is vile. And I want you to, after the top of the hour, I want you to listen to that. And I want you to say, ask yourself this question. What's the difference between them and the Westboro Baptist Church? What is the difference between them and the Westboro Baptist Church? And if your son or daughter had been harassed by the Westboro Baptist Church, and then a guy who had been egged on by the Westboro Baptist Church started playing a drum in your son's face, do you think, even if he did smirk, that would be a problem? We're looking at this story all wrong because the media is not telling you who the people were around the Covington School kids. You just assume, oh, well, it's just a nice little Native American. And it was just, some street preachers and, you know, four old black men. No, it's not. The truth next. Let me tell you about Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is something that I didn't even know you had to protect. You know, you think the bank has your title. No, it's actually kept in a vault, really. One digital vault in the whole country has all of the titles. And when they're called for, they come out of the digital vault and they go out and then they are changed and then they come back in. Well, Home Title Lock is the company that is standing at that vault door.
They're the guards.
They're the only ones that have access at that point. So if they're watching your title, nobody can come in and steal it, because once it leaves the vault to be changed, they say, wait a minute, hang on. They call you. Did you sell your house? You changing the title? Nope. They hold that title and say, there's fraud going on. Nobody else does this. Get your $100 search for free to see if somebody's already taken advantage of your title at HomeTitleLock.com. I have it. Stu has it. We all do. We believe in it. HomeTitleLock.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Would things have been different if it was the Westboro Baptist Church that were out on the mall, that were egging on the Native Americans, calling them all kinds of racist names, and then got the Native Americans so riled up and then said, get these boys? Would it have been different? Would anyone have minded somebody who was really working almost in league with the Westboro Baptist Church? Would it be a problem if that person was smirked at? That's the way you need to look at this story, because I'm going to tell you who the black Israelites are. And they're the ones who are at the center of this controversy that the media refuses to look at. Yes, Covington Strong. We begin the program in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We live in a society, Glenn, where microwaves can heat up your food in like a minute. You can take in your car. You don't have to get out of your car. You drive through a restaurant and they give you delicious food. That's a society I like being a part of.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Yeah.
I know
people would say,
probably the people at Field of Greens would say, that's not necessarily a bunch of great developments you're describing. I would disagree. I want to eat all that food. What I don't want to eat is salad and fruits and vegetables and things like that.
You ordered one the other day. You make me sick.
I did order one.
A man. Yesterday we went
out for
lunch.
It was a side salad.
Still, French fries or salad? And he said salad.
I
almost left the table.
I know. Well, I didn't have my Field of Greens with me.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you want to have a salad, go ahead. If you hate salad more than poison, you don't have to have the greens all the time. You don't have to have kale. What they've done is they've taken it and they've just ground it all up. And so it's a spoonful of the actual fruits and vegetables. All you have to do is just stir it into whatever it is you're drinking, knock it back, and you got it all. All the organic USDA fruits and vegetables that you could possibly ever want, complete with the prebiotics, the probiotics, the antioxidants, and blah, 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 blah. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of Field of Greens helps the salad go down. Do it now. You get your Field of Greens 15% off at BrickHouseGlen.com. That's BrickHouseGlen.com. Order now. I want to give you a show warning. Some of the stuff that you're going to hear is quite offensive. Listener discretion is advised. I'll tell you when we get into that. It'll be at about 5 minutes from now. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the Black Hebrew Israelites. The Black Hebrew Israelites are the story. If you are just watching the mainstream media, you have no idea why I'm talking about it. But if you've watched this show, if you've listened to anybody, or you've actually watched the video, the long form video of what happened in the mall on Washington, you know who the Black Israelites are. These are just vile, vile people that really were the cause of most of the problems on Friday. It's like having, what's his name? Reverend Phillips. From the Westboro Baptist Church.
Phelps.
Phelps, yeah. That's right. It's like that. It's that bad. Nobody in the media is talking about them. I want to tell you who they are. The path from the founders of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement in the late 1800s to the group that is verbally abusing people, including the Covington Catholic High School students in Washington last Friday, is very complex. There are many different groups and subgroups and offshoots. It would take a week to untangle all of these. I'm going to try to boil them down, but no, I just got a letter from somebody who is a fan of this show and says, look, Glenn, I am part of Black Israelites. That's not our group. And I understand that, and I understand that religion is a very tangled thing. But I'm going to speak generally here and give you the roots of it, and then I'm going to speak specifically about this group that we saw. It all started in 1886 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was started by a former railroad worker named Frank Cherry. And he established the Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of truth for all nations. That was the official name of the church. He mixed together all the elements of Judaism and Christianity, and he believed that African Americans were descendants of the original tribes of Israel. He preached that these Israelite ancestors were chased out of Babylon into Central and Western Africa, where they were eventually sold into slavery by the Romans. He also preached that Adam and Eve and Jesus were black. Personally, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to look for the character of Jesus, not the color of his skin. Cherry also preached that whites were inherently evil and hated by God. Cherry's church formed the template for a ton of offshoots. Throughout the 1900s, the offshoots developed into three main tracks. There were the Black Jews, who adopt Jewish rituals but also believe in Jesus as the Messiah. There are the Black Hebrews, who strictly practice traditional Judaism. And then there are the Black Israelites. These guys are nationalistic and the furthest from traditional Judaism and Christianity. This is the group that harassed the Covington students in D.C. Just last week. Now, the group calls itself House of Israel, and it evolved from the Black nationalist movement in the 1960s and 1970s, which branded Christianity as a foreign religion imposed by white slave masters on blacks. Now, this group is on the extreme edge and fringe of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, but they see themselves as the radical reformers of Hebrew Israelites across the spectrum who have just all gone astray. Even the notorious Southern Poverty Law Center characterizes this group as a black supremacist group, placing it on the same level as the Nazis and the white supremacy groups. Why is the press not worried about this group, but they are worried about white nationalists? The current high priest of this wing of the Black Hebrew Israelites has prophesied that a vengeful black Jesus is going to come back to earth and he's going to kill all the white people. That'll be interesting to see.
Interesting premise for a movie as well. That's a
movie. It is actually a movie I would like to see. That would be fun.
It may be a little sacrilegious.
A little bit.
But it would be a fascinating watch.
But with that cheery message in mind, small groups of Black Hebrew Israelite street preachers called camps station themselves at busy intersections in busy cities like Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. And all they do is rail against the white devils, which they believe are descended from a race of beasts spawned early in the Bible. In fact, one of the twin brothers of Jacob, later called Israel, in the Old Testament. They also rail against promiscuous women, African-Americans, because Native Africans sold Black Israelites into slavery. They also rail against Asians. They call for the death of Jews and the death of homosexuals. You're going to hear a sampling of pretty much all of this here that from a video taken Friday at the Lincoln Memorial. Now, former member of the Black Hebrew Israelites say that they use fear tactics to break down new recruits and brainwash them. Recruits are urged to join camps and verbally assault pedestrians. Now, it's easier to go through airport security than it is to visit one of the group's places of worship. White people cannot go. If you're a person of color, you have to explain to security why you're visiting and how you heard about the church. You have to swear that you're not a cop, you're not a spy, you're not a member of a rival black Israelite group. You then have to swear before the security guards that you're clean, including not have had eaten pork or had sex for the previous 24 hours. They take your phone and photo ID during the service. Then they pat you down. Once you're inside the first door, you have to register your name, address, and phone number. Then you're handed a Bible. If you make it that far, a disciple then pours olive oil on your head as a final cleansing ritual. Now you can go to church. Good times. So there's their history. But what is it they believe and stand for? What do they preach on American street corners? Were the things caught on tape during the Covington controversy an aberration or the norm? You be the judge. But I want to warn you, what you're about to hear is highly offensive. The vast majority of their stuff cannot even be broadcast on public airwaves. But I get that. In 1 minute. All right, our sponsor this half hour is Relief Factor. If you're in pain, I'd like you to be out of pain. I've been in pain for a very, very long time, to the point to where I can't move. Last night, I woke up and I have to wake my wife up from time to time because I can't move my. I've got a whole bunch of things going on, but I can't move my arms at all. They just stop working. And got up this morning. I was in such bad pain. I took Relief Factor. I'm fine. I have no pain. It's amazing.
Big difference.
It's amazing. Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com. Doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for 70% of the people who take it. That's pretty remarkable. 70% of the people try it for 3 weeks and they go on to order more month after month. And some year after year after year. I've been on it for over a year. ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-583-84. See if it works for you. 800-583-84 or ReliefFactor.com. We break now for 10 seconds. Station ID. Again, I want to warn you that what you're about to hear is highly offensive. But let me give you a montage of what these guys actually say on the street corners. How much they are like the Westboro Baptist Church. And they get no press. Listen.
They think it's a joke, man. It's not going to be a joke when we got a sword and it's going across your neck, man. You're going to get tortured, too, man. And by the way, all you so-called white ones, you're going to get brutally raped down here. Hey, 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 ugly cave beast. Have your last days of enjoying America. The Most High is about to put your ass in slavery. You're going to use us to do it.
That's right.
You little red punks. All right? That's according to the Bible. Huh? It's about to be 144,000 Nat Turner's risen up, all right?
That's right!
Just going to be killing so-called white people, babies included.
Okay. That's what they preach. That's who they are. That's what they were saying in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And God bless America, they have a right to say that. It's hard, but they've got a right to say that. And they have a right to believe that. They do not have a right to do that. It's some of the most racist and bigoted language you will ever hear. However, no one in the press seems to care. Now, this is not what the anti-fascists and the rest of the militant left has risen up in mass to fight against, is it? If that was a white man saying that, that would be a Nazi. And I know how the press treats Nazis. Where is the crowd of black clad millennials standing against these guys? And I'm not encouraging them because I think those guys are radicals as well. But the reason why they're not there is because they agree with tear down the system. They agree with a lot of what is being said here. They'll show up to Berkeley. They'll protest Ben Shapiro, but not somebody saying these things? Okay, well, they're saying this all about white people, right? So it has to be okay. In today's culture of relativism, we can just let it slide, you know, as long as it's directed to white people. I'm sure they're perfectly fine with everyone else.
That's right! Dune Kai!
That was incorporated into those civil rights acts.
Man, death to you gooks.
Yeah,
that's right.
Death to gooks.
Man, I hate Moabites.
Yeah. Right, man, right. These gooks and you damn East Indians.
These gooks and these damn East Indians. They hate every race and creed. Now, this is the only footage that we could find that didn't have profanity. I can't include the audio of them slamming other African Americans. I can't include the video of them slamming Jews or Mexicans because it is so vile and laced with profanity that I cannot air it on public airwaves. We are editing some of those things down for today's 5 o'clock. And it will come with a very strong warning. But I believe these people need to be exposed and America needs to wake up. You're demonizing the Covington Catholic school kids who were standing up, not against 4 black men. They were standing up against these guys. In the climate of Me Too, you would think the anti-women stuff would be the final straw, but I'm sure they've never been hostile to women, because otherwise we'd see the Women's March people, led by Linda Sarsour, no doubt, holding an anti-black Israelite rally in Washington, D.C., so they must not be anti-women, right?
One of the top 3 fantasies of women is to get raped.
Who are you? Who do you think you
some
are
research.
Saying that it's... Oh my God,
do
I've
research.
Done research. Do some,
okay.
I've taken
look
classes.
Up, okay, look it up right now. Those your daughters?
My daughter, yeah.
We're going to take your daughters,
yeah.
Right? They're going to be our concubines.
That's right.
Hey, somebody might pick you up too.
And the women laugh. And the women laugh. Okay, I'm not going to play any more of this vile crap, but imagine just for a second that everything you heard was said by a group of white men on the steps of the Capitol wearing MAGA hats. They wouldn't last 5 seconds. They wouldn't last 10 seconds before Antifa had targeted them and hundreds of people forced the police to arrest them. Hundreds of videos would begin to pop up on both social media and blasted all over CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times. Take your pick. It would be everywhere. Everywhere. They say they are for justice. The left is not for justice. They are for vengeance. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. They are for vengeance. Because they have no problem with these things being said by Louis Farrakhan, by Antifa, by Hollywood celebrities, even in their own ranks as journalists sometimes. I want to put that boy in a wood chipper. I just like to see all of them dead. That's not justice. That's rage. We must not engage in rage. It doesn't mean we can't be passionate, but we cannot be filled with rage and anger and want to just shut them up because that's what they want to do. How would you react hearing this on your local street corner? With anger, with fear, anxiety, maybe even rage? Nathan Phillips, the professional Native American activist, reacted by using the vile language that was directed at his own Native American people to make a statement, not at those speaking the words, but a bunch of kids who were white, who were wearing a hat that represented a wall that particular Native American, who his particular tribe say, you know, he oftentimes does things that we don't agree with. He uses tactics that we don't agree with. He instead wanted to direct his rage to those kids who were caught in the middle. The Covington kids reacted with a pep rally. Who do you think were the bigger adults that day? Is there anyone anymore that has the courage to stand? And the courage to stand with peace? Did you see that teen? Did you see him stand up and appear on the Today Show? You want to talk about courage? I think a little bit of insanity. Show up on the Today Show. Watch the video. He was terrified. Why? Because just like your son, if you don't toe the line, you're not going to college. That kid's not going to college. He's not going to go to a college of his choice. He could be a straight A student. He could have perfect SAT scores. He could be the smartest kid in the world. He's not going to get in the college of his choice if it happens to be an Ivy League school or any of those run by any kind of liberals. Because look at what he did. He smirked. He smirked. He and his friends were standing against the black Israelites. And he smirked. Oh my gosh. I'm wearing a Covington Catholic School shirt today. And I'm doing it for solidarity, not for the school or the archdiocese, who I think are cowards. Jesus was nailed to a cross for the truth. You're not willing to stand up for the truth because you're afraid of losing parishioners. You're afraid of losing funding. Do we need to remind you what Jesus did as he was dying, bleeding, mocked on the cross? Still kind of mentioning truth. But if you want to stand with the students of Covington, get your Covington Strong shirt now. Go to the front page of glenbeck.com or shop.theblaze.com. Covington Strong, you must stand with these kids. This is a turning point in our history. Which side are you going to choose? This really is black and white. It is black and white. Get your Covington Strong shirt now. glenbeck.com.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, I want to talk to you about LifeLock. LifeLock is the group that's going to protect your digital security, your banking security, your credit card security. I mean, nobody can, you know, monitor all transactions and stop all identity theft and stop all cyber hacking, but LifeLock is the best, and they've been doing it from the very beginning. I remember in the 90s, I was like, oh, take my Social Security card. They'd ask for the number, and you'd be like, I don't care who's going to use that. Now?
Different world. Yeah. I mean, you know, tens of millions of people. Every other day, you get another story where tens of millions of people's passwords and information are stolen.
Was it 700 million people just last week? Their identities were stolen. 700 million people. Join LifeLock now. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck. Or 1-800-LIFELOCK. Do it now. Promo code Beck.
If you want to see these videos, what Glenn was just talking about with this group that was harassing the students, we're going to have them on TV tonight. BlazeTV.com/Beck.
Let me ask you a question. If I said to you today, hey, if you believe in God, or you just believe in, a higher power of some sort, but you get along with people who don't believe in God, and you leave people alone, and you believe that everybody needs to kind of work together, but it's got to be a kind of a voluntary kind of thing. You know, nobody should force anybody to work together. But I'm going to propose something here in a second. That is, we all have to work together. We just all have to work together because we're going to try to do something really great. But we don't want any problems. This, we believe all men are created equal. That means all women. That means all races. That means everybody. And they have certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and property. And nobody can take that. And we firmly believe in these things. And we're gonna just rely on self-reliance and also divine providence. Who wants to go to Mars right now? Because right now we're going to set up a colony. Elon Musk has got it all figured out. And we're just going to go up and you could take your family. And we know it's going to be a safe flight. But let's go and let's just try to do this right. Let's just try to do this right.
Are we going to have to fertilize our crops with human waste?
No. Well, there's no human waste that you have to fertilize your crops with.
Because I've seen that movie before, and that did not look good. Right.
I think I would consider it. I really do. I have that. I have such a lack of faith that this is going to get better before it gets much, much worse. Because I don't see how this just doesn't end in civil war. I don't see how this... You think 2020 is going to make it better?
No, of course not. I mean, I think there hopefully is not a civil war. I don't think we necessarily have to go that far. That would be nice if we didn't. I mean, I do think that there is a real difference between what I see in this world when I look at social media. And like this story in particular is a great example of it. It's people absolutely denying the truth. It's like, I mean, I know you're not going to understand this reference, but it's like watching the Saints game last weekend and being like, no, there's no pass interference on that play. Everything was fine. It was clean play. Like, it's impossible to look at it and think that if you're being honest, it's impossible to read this one as different. Now, maybe when you first saw it, you saw journalists, Washington Post, writing headlines that they were doing these things, these terrible things. You could absolutely be excused for assuming... I think you should rethink this one next time, but assuming that a journalistic organization did some work to check out the story, mm-hmm. like I can completely understand that. But once you see the tape, now that everything's out there, it's impossible unless you're just dishonest to think these kids did anything that violated any norm.
This is the Kavanaugh hearings on steroids.
Yeah,
because you could come. I think an honest person could come out of those hearings and have a different point of view.
Yes, I agree. It's hard for me to understand how you could think he should essentially be convicted on the amount of evidence that was out there.
Correct.
However, you could think he did it.
Correct.
Because essentially, we're all at some level guessing.
Yes,
right?
We are.
The system was set up so that when we get to a point where we're guessing, the person's innocent.
Right.
That's how it's set up.
Right.
But I mean, if you want to, you might still think he was guilty in that situation. But there weren't 40 cell phone cameras filming the supposed bedroom at the supposed party that we don't know the location of and we don't know what time it was.
So this is like having, this is doing the Kavanaugh case, except at every party he was at, and specifically the parties that he and she were at, and specifically the party that she couldn't remember where it was at, but she suddenly remembered. And there were 40 video cameras, and it showed him never going upstairs. And there was a camera always on those stairs, and it was the only way up. And there was a camera in the lawn of another party that showed her window and no one climbing up the wall through that window. And he was down at a party and being with friends at the time she said he was raping her.
And on the bed. You have to have, in this particular, to make it the same,
you'd have to
have a video of the actual controversial incident. Like, you'd have to have a supposed, on the bed, that supposedly happened the entire time. And
you, in this case, you have all of that.
All of it.
All of it. And you have it with the narration of the Native Americans. You have it with the narration of the Black Israelites. And you have it with the narration of the Covington School. You watch the Covington School students. None of them are like, get them. Oh, yeah, stare them down. You have the Covington School students saying, what's going on? What's happening all of a sudden? What's happening? You also have the guys from the Native American group all saying, get them. Look at these white boys. They're just doing go back to Europe. You have them on their tape saying that. Not somebody else's tape. their tapes that they posted. And the same with the Black Israelites.
And so I think, you know, when you look at the way people on social media react and what is flared up out of this, the fact that so many have stuck to their guns despite all available evidence and incontrovertible evidence, the fact that this played out a certain way. That being said, in my normal life, right, like in my life where I'm in interacting with people every day and going around, I don't feel that tension. I don't feel that the whole society is breaking apart. I go out, you know, you go to a restaurant, you hang out with friends, you talk to people. Generally speaking, yeah, you get an occasional political argument, but that's not your every minute of everyday life unless you're diving into Facebook and Twitter and all these things, unless you're constantly engaged in it. I want to know, like what you did yesterday was exactly what I want out of a show. I want someone to look at this and say, I'm going to look through all this video for you. I'm going to make sure that you understand, and I'm going to give it to you with enough context that I'm not making the decision for you. You're presenting all the facts to me, and here's everything that you need to find. I might not have 2 hours times 10 video cameras to watch all of that. I might not have that time, but I want to have this boiled down to me in some fair way, including if the kid was a jerk, including mm-hmm. if the kid did do something wrong. Mm-hmm. I want to just know what the facts are mm-hmm. in a fair way.
And I want to know that here are the time codes. This is the film this came from. Here's the whole unedited film.
Yeah.
You have to be able to have the edit so people who are in a hurry, and then the people can do their own homework and mm-hmm. go, wait a minute, I want to see that. I want to see what happened right before that, right after that. So you make sure that it's all in context. That's what we did for you yesterday. That's what we're continuing to do. And we're asking you, please use the video clips and send them out. We've posted them all yesterday. We've tweeted them. Mm-hmm. We've Facebooked this. Please like and share those things so they can go out. There's no excuse for people now. No excuse. Anybody who says, well, I haven't taken the time. You don't need to take that much time. Got 5 minutes? I'll show it to you.
I know.
People who say, oh, well, you can do anything with video. Well, that's going to be the case soon, but that's not the case now.
Yeah. And you know what? It's okay to not take the time on a story like this. This shouldn't be a national story. It shouldn't. Should be even a local story.
But don't
condemn. You can't convict him. If you want to say this guy is a bad guy and the school is a bad school, then you have to take the time. And you know, some reporters did. We on News and Why It Matters yesterday, we went over a few of them. Even like Jamie Lee Curtis, an actual celebrity, did this. She came out initially and said, hey, these kids are terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then said, wow, now I've seen the context. I was totally wrong. And there's two sides to every story. Like, that's a good, at least they're taking the step. And it did happen occasionally, but it should happen a lot more often.
Well, I don't think the press is doing that.
There's been some. I mean,
there's been some.
The Atlantic we talked about yesterday.
Yeah,
there's someone there who did it mm-hmm. and wrote really.
Someone did it.
I mean, I don't know how many articles they're supposed to write about the mm-hmm. same topic, but I'll give them a break here. This is like, you know,
but it's a personal thing, though.
What's that?
That was a personal thing of somebody at the Atlantic.
Yeah, it was.
I'm saying the New York Times should come out.
The worst one is the Washington Post.
Yes.
Who first comes out and writes this story and makes it look like just takes word for word with no checking. The word of this Native American activist who's been in also who the next day tried to interrupt a Catholic service, a mass in progress with his drums, an activist
who had to lock the doors. Yeah. Imagine how terrified you'd be if you all of a sudden saw security rush to your church doors and they locked them and bolted them.
And then like all you hear is all sorts of ruckus outside, right?
Can you imagine that?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's very American to hear that. That's what the British did to Americans when they would be in church. They would just lock the doors from the outside and then they'd burn it to the ground.
Yeah. And then the Post comes out, first of all, and writes a correction saying, oh, by the way, yeah, he didn't serve and he did not fight in Vietnam. So after he's been called, how can you attack this Vietnam veteran? Well, now we know he was not in Vietnam. That does not mean he was not a veteran. We don't know the exact details of his military service. But, you know, facts are wrong. You're just believing what he says with no checking. But beyond that, they then have the balls the next day to write a big story about this interesting little controversy that's bubbled up on social media. Or these people, there's a lot of people who are looking at these videos and now saying they were wrong and that they've changed their mind. Not the Washington Post admitting that they were wrong, that the Post was wrong, and the Post has now seen the videos and they've changed their mind. No, it was covering from a distance this little controversy going on in social media, how people have noticed that new information has come out to change a lot of people's opinion. And isn't that an interesting thing to watch from a distance? It was your freaking story. You are the ones that took an absolutely meaningless interaction between a high school student and a protester that, if there wasn't a red hat on his head, would never have made news anywhere. And instead, you made that into a national news story. You forced this kid into being threatened. You've seen blue check marks all over the internet, threatening him to be thrown into wood chippers and wanting him to be punched in the face.
And those people are still on Twitter
still
today.
Still on Twitter, and doesn't even make a difference. And you act as, oh, there's this, look at this interesting little cultural quirk we've discovered a day after we started it. It's indescribable the way some people in the media have handled this. You know, there's been a few good examples, and I think it's important because as conservatives, right, we understand incentives, right? That's one of the main things that is the foundation of conservatism, admitting that incentives actually do things. If you tell everyone, well, your health care is going to be paid for by the government, they're going to use it in a way that is going to make it so it's going to be very expensive. We understand those things. So when someone who, like in The Atlantic, her name is Julie Irwin Zimmerman, when she comes out and writes something, and she said, look, I reacted immediately to this, and it's like a Rorschach test. I could tell you who you voted for, what you believe on abortion, all of these things as to how you initially reacted. But next time, I'm going to make sure that I take the steps to actually understand the story before I blabbing about it on Twitter. And we should praise those people because we should incentivize. That is good behavior. We all make mistakes when a story comes out. But it's important to actually take that step and understand where the truth is, to care. Because it's not even that people don't even want to look for it. They don't even care if they found it. And if they found the truth, if they watch those videos, they'd come up with a justification to dig their feet in and stay where they were. It's just not the right way to run a civilization.
If they're not guilty about this, they're guilty about something.
You still have tickets to Mars? I mean, is that still available? Because I'll go.
Yes, okay. I do. I'm selling tickets to Mars.
Even with the human waste fertilization, I think I'm in on it.
It's really nuts. It's really nuts. I don't see how this ends unless a group of people who are not all like-minded in everything, they're just like-minded in decency, start to stand together and stand loudly, loudly. We have to see you. All right, X-Chair. X-Chair has every function known to man. I mean, I don't know, but there might be a switcher on this or something that would make this turn into like a cryogenic freezer or something of the future. It's a great chair that has all kinds of features, really comfortable.
If you happen to be on a long flight to Mars in the future very soon, the X chair is the one you want because it's very comfortable if you're going to be in it for, you know, a couple years straight.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting in the X chair and it is perfect position for your body. It reduces pain, blah, blah, blah. It's just a great chair all the way around. You deserve a great chair to sit in at the office or at home. So they have the X chair and the X chair basic. So find out if this chair is right for you. And you can do it by ordering it and they'll give you the money back in 30 days. If it's just not the best chair you've ever sat in. I think it is. It's the best office chair I've ever sat in. It's X chair. 30-day money back guarantee. No questions asked. It's $100 off. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to get a free footrest as well. It's xchairbeck.com or call 844-4XCHAIR. xchairbeck.com. Coming up in a minute, we have Dr. Peter Boghossian. You may not know his name, but you know him. He's been in the news. He's assistant professor of philosophy at Portland State University. God bless him. And his main focus is bringing the tools of professional philosophers to people in a wide variety of life situations. He's been teaching for more than 25 years, 30,000 students. He's been in prisons, hospitals, public and private schools, seminaries, colleges, universities, Fortune 100 companies, small businesses. And he is focused on critical thinking. Well, he's the guy who was part of the three scientists. In fact, he was the lead guy on this that was trying to show that the university system has gone unhinged.
And he did show the university system and the peer review system in particular had really gone unhinged. Just when it comes to social justice type causes, you know, he was able to place a bunch of ridiculous fake studies as long as it agreed with the sort of narrative of the left and the way they want to move things, even if they got completely ridiculous when it comes to feminism and gender and all of these things.
Yeah, dog parks were a very hot spot for dog rape.
Dog rape was one of them. He put parts of Mein Kampf and said it was, well, it's my struggle. Here's our struggle of, I think it was feminism. Tied it to. Mm-hmm. And it was, here's a bunch of it. And it just like re-edited some of the words from Mein Kampf. And that got, you know, I that one got, one of the two he did that with, I think, got through. The other one was in the process. Or maybe that one was the one that was, that there was no end to. Well, we'll get the details from here in a minute. But most of the studies got through. Only a couple were rejected. Most of the other ones were in process of going through when they had to pull the plug on the experiment. It's an embarrassment.
So guess who's in trouble?
Oh, all these peer-reviewed journals that just approved these ridiculous things. Obviously, they're in huge trouble.
He is. He is. Because, well, he didn't get permission to do this. Wait, how? Wait, what?
I gotta place false things in your journal. Will you approve them? Like, how do I get permission for that?
Back with him and his crazy story coming up.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, there was a time that we taught people critical thinking. We taught people how to question. Remember the time and the day when there was no stupid question? Well, now there are not only stupid questions, there are dangerous questions. What kind of world do we live in? I remember the first time I read Immanuel Kant's quote, "There are many things that I believe that I shall never say, but I shall never say the things I do not believe." I was perplexed. For days, I pondered that and thought, what kind of world was it that he lived in where he would say that? This kind of world, the world we're living in right now. And I'll show you a guy who's living at ground zero in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hiring can be really, really time consuming, you know, and you post a job to several online job boards, only get tons of, you know, wrong resumes, people that, you know, they're not going to work for you and you're not going to hire them. They're in the wrong part of the country, whatever it is. But you have to sort through all of those. You have to find just a few people that have the right experience, the right skills, and would fit with your corporate culture. The job sites that overwhelm you with the wrong industries, they're not smart. But this is smart, smart technology, smart algorithms with ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. It has powerful matching technology that goes out and scans thousands of resumes and identifies the people with the right skills, education, experience, and then goes and actively invites them to apply for your job. So you'll get qualified candidates fast. In most cases, employers receive a qualified candidate that they can hire or do hire within an hour. ZipRecruiter cuts through all the bullcrap and gets to the people that can help you build your company. ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. The smartest way to hire, ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Last fall, it was revealed that a trio of researchers had perpetrated what they viewed as an important work that needed to be done. Work that exposed how crazy things had gotten in the peer-reviewed journals and in education. To where you couldn't question authority, but you could be published, even if you had crazy ideas, as long as you spoke the right language. Didn't really even have to make sense. You could take things from Hitler, and if you couch them in the right terms, and you were making a point about feminism, you might pretty well get that thing published, peer-reviewed. Well, the guy who is really responsible for this, really the mastermind behind it, who started it, is Dr. Peter Boghossian. And Dr. Boghossian joins us now. There's more to this story. Not we covered it in the fall, but now the fallout has happened. He's in trouble with the university, an assistant professor of philosophy at Portland State University, Dr. Peter Boghossian. Doctor, hey, how are you?
Good to talk to you. Just a quick correction on that.
Yeah.
We are all equally a team on this project, and so there was no mastermind of this. We all participated equally.
Okay, but you're the only one so far that's in trouble.
That's correct. So the university system has authority over me. They exercise dominion over me, whereas mm-hmm. James Lindsay does not work in the academy and Helen Pluckrose does not work in the academy.
Okay.
So I was clearly the most vulnerable of the three.
All right. Now, look, I'm sure we don't agree on 100 million things, but that doesn't bother me at all. I look for people who have intellectual integrity. And if you, as long as you have intellectual integrity and you are married to the truth and, you know, hey, come what may, if I find that to be truth and I need to adopt that, I'm cool with that person. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. That's the attitude and the posture that we need to take in our universities now. And that's not what's happening.
But isn't that what... How is it the university system, they don't see themselves becoming the Catholic Church and people like you as Galileo?
Well, that's a really, really pertinent question. And we have argued in Aereo magazine, for example, that this is a new religion. And so as you see the decline of the Abrahamic traditions, particularly Christianity, something has filled that void.
Nietzsche.
And I think that this makes sense in a lot of ways to view these folks as religious, really. They're kind of have an evangelism for social justice. They have political correctness, which is blasphemy. They have privilege, which is the analog to original sin. And so they're really operating in this quasi-religious context, although they don't consider themselves religious. So when you look at it through that lens, their behavior makes sense. And what's happening now is that universities are so, they've become social centers of social justice advocacy
mm-hmm.
and not centers where people find the truth. So they've mm-hmm. placed an agenda ahead of the truth. And we tried to shine a light on that because we think it's hurting people.
So are you in the vast minority? Are you in the majority, but the only vocal ones? How prevalent is your philosophy? You know, especially because, if I'm not mistaken, you're on the left.
Yeah, I consider myself a classical liberal.
Okay,
and
that's not the left.
What's very interesting is that 10, 15 years ago, I would be the guy that parents would come in to warn their kids about. Now I'm the guy. The whole institution has swung so far to the left that I'm the guy, conservative and religious parents, and I wrote a manual for creating atheists. So you and I have some substantive metaphysical disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those can be worked out in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But parents come to me now and tell them that they want their kids to study with me, and it's just the most fascinating twist in the culture war. The fact that you and I are having this conversation now is another fascinating twist in the culture war. And I think the commonality there is we might disagree about interpretations of facts, but both you and I share just commonalities. Like, we both agree there's an external world. We both agree that your subjective experiences of the world don't trump any objective reality.
Mm-hmm.
We both agree that we don't want to punch anybody being punched, right? We mm-hmm. want to work out our lowest common denominator, but unfortunately it has to be said in this cultural environment. So we both value the truth, and we both value the fact that we can have conversations in which not only can we get to the truth, but it's okay if we disagree. I want to know what you think. And if I'm wrong about something, I don't want to be wrong. This is Sam Harris, as you dedicated your book to him. I don't want to be wrong 1 second more than I have to be.
Exactly right.
And as long as we share that attitude, it's fine. That's what Aristotle talked about, is the highest form of friendship between two virtuous people. If both people love the truth, that's ultimately the only thing that matters, if they have integrity.
So I mean, I'm a classic liberal as well. I am very religious, but I don't I mean, I have many atheist friends. And I'm not trying to save them, and I'm not condemning them or whatever. Just live your life, man, and live your life to the best that you can. Is what is the system that you're living under making you a better human being or a worse human being? And I know people who are very religious who it makes them a much worse human being. And that's what we should all be striving for, is how can we respect each other's rights, basic human, constitutionally guarded human rights. Leave people alone.
That is a view I share, but that is not what's coming out of these bodies of literature in what we term grievance studies, basically anything that has studies at the end of it. One of the things that is coming out of this is an overt racism in the name of non-racism. Mm-hmm. It's an anti-male. Basically, it's identifying people on the basis of their immutable characteristics. For example, their skin color or some fat, right?
Martin Luther King's dream is absolutely dead right now.
That's right. That's correct. It's not that we judge people on the contents of their character, not the color of their skin. It's the other way around. But what's worse than that is that we see from these bodies of literature, and this is really what I want people to understand. People think, well, why does this affect me? Well, it affects you because this stuff is being taught in school to our kids, and they don't develop robust defenses of their ideas. They're not even many people who have alternative opinions, for example, conservatives or libertarians or Christians, they don't feel comfortable voicing those opinions in the classroom. So not only do other students not get the benefit of learning why people believe things, right? That's the philosopher Jürgen Habermas. We want to speak to people so that we understand where they're coming from. And when you understand where someone's coming from, especially in this incredibly polarized environment, it's much easier to look at them as people, to understand their points of view, and to have compassion toward them. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the literature coming out of these fields, there's no mercy. There's no compassion. There's a weird sense of redemption if you're quote-unquote woke. But these bodies of literature are causing contention. They're causing damage. They're hurting people. And that's why we decided to do this project, because someone needed to shine a spotlight on this.
Okay. Let me just take a quick minute break, 1 minute break, and then we're going to come back. And I want to hear what's happening to you at the university and how people can get involved in changing this when we come back. First, 1 minute to tell you about 23andMe. They're a new partner of the show this year. I have an adopted son. I know his mother has Scottish background. We don't know who the father is. So I have no idea what his true background is. I have no idea what his health background is.
It'd be amazing to actually find that out.
Oh, it's going to be so cool.
All these years.
It's going to be so cool. We're really excited. I'm excited as a family. It's kind of like one of those things we want to open up together and be like, okay, you know, cause it's like the wheel of the world. Where are you from? Genes tell us more than just our ancestry, however. They tell us about our health as well. 23andMe has health and ancestry kit. You'll learn about your health, your traits, your ancestry, and 125 personalized insights. Join me to discover the connections between your DNA and your weight and how you can improve your sleep and, you know, how much caffeine your body and your DNA can really handle. All the different things that can just help you on day to day. Plus, you're going to learn about your ancestry. Buy your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Beck. That's the number 23andme.com/Beck. 23andme.com/Beck. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. The Glenn Beck Program with Dr. Peter Boghossian. So you did this experiment where you showed that you could pretty much get anything published. And instead of that being a shockwave through the peer-reviewed system. You instead start receiving incoming fire from the system saying,
right,
you betrayed us.
Right. But it, so just a small correction, or maybe a large correction, not that we could get anything published,
right,
but we could get,
yes,
anything that was morally fashionable published.
Correct. Correct.
So we, so if it espouses feminist dogma, it's far more likely to be published.
Sure. I'm not going to get anything published. If you published something that was religious or whatever and not in fashion, you couldn't get that published. You couldn't even get some of the other stuff published until you really zeroed in on exactly the right language. Correct?
Yeah, we figured out what the core tenets of their belief system are. And, you know, I can tell you this, and many listeners probably won't believe it, but it's the biology denialism is big, and hatred of men is big, and you know, we want, in the dog park paper, the paper that received the most attention, we argued that we should train men like dogs. That was big. So there's just, if you know what to write about and you know what is morally resonates with them, then they'll just accept it. Boom, hook, line, and sinker. And that's unfortunate, again, because 7 papers in 7 years usually means tenure at most institutions. And then these folks in the grievance studies complex start teaching these papers to kids. They then use that as homework, and they study and they test them on it, and then they come to think it's knowledge, right? So they don't need faith in this sense. They just, well, how do you know that? Not because I have faith. Well, here, it's in this. This is a piece of evidence. Boom, and they point to it.
So what did your university say?
Well, they brought me up on charges, but I think it's really important to give some background so that people have a context,
sure,
for this. First, there was an anonymous collective of Portland State University faculty who wrote really a slanderous open letter about me that you can still read it. It's online in the Portland State University Vanguard. They pictured me as an evil villain, and they put this, you know, nose on me, and they said, you know, snake oil, et cetera, et cetera. And the letter was really aimed at students to tell them that I, having me on the faculty was demeaning to their education. But I'll let people read that for themselves. So I think that's kind of the context that, excuse me, there are bullies. These people are fundamentally, they're bullies. And in this case, they're anonymous. So they're not just bullies, they're cowards. And they're operating behind the scenes. And so I'm sure that and other things that I don't have access to put tremendous pressure on the administrators to do something to me. So I don't necessarily blame them for an investigation. I do understand that they're under a lot of pressure.
But do you blame them for cowardice? I mean, truth is truth. It's like the Covington School right now. They're worried about losing their funding and everything else. They don't know which side to come out on. Mm-hmm. If you watched all of the videos, and I watched, right, I mean, my team watched all of it, it's a, right, very different story. Now, these kids may be bad other times, but they weren't, right, then. And, right, I'm sorry, but if it's the truth, not to stand is to stand.
Right. So that's a commonality that we have. We both defer to what's true independent of our own personal feelings.
Correct.
So in this case, there were two things. There was, I was found guilty of not going to the IRB, and the IRB is basically this human subjects board. And anytime you do experiments, quote unquote, experiments on human subjects, you need to get permission. And so we looked at this as, and this is caused considerable controversy and debate. We looked at investigating certain fields and certain journals and certain conclusions that the journals come to. They viewed human subjects as the journal editors. So I was found guilty of that. And currently that's escalated to the president and the provost of Portland State University. So, they may or may not impose additional sanctions on me. We can talk about that. The second charge of data fabrication is ongoing. And I have not received anything. I don't know where that stands. I know that when I decided to go public with this, that the support that I have gotten has been unbelievable, truly, truly humbling and amazing from all over the spectrum.
Good.
Political spectrum, ideological spectrum, religious spectrum.
So happy to hear
those,
that,
frankly, are the most touching and satisfying to me. they all start, you know, we don't agree or we have many points of disagreement, but, you know, what you have done, I really appreciate, and we need alternative voices in the academy. So people really are fed up with this. But Glenn, what's really interesting about this is that as the letters of support flood in and they're going to the man who spearheaded the investigation and some to my boss, the chair of the philosophy department, people are signing their names to these. That's what's amazing to me about this, that people are no longer afraid to be called a racist or a homophobe or a misogynist. So when they sign their names to this, they're doing so in a very public way. They're giving me a very public show of support, and people just aren't scared anymore. So that's been an amazing sea change in this whole thing.
Courage is contagious. And people, I truly believe, most people who are thoughtful want to do the right thing. They don't want to be a pariah. They don't want to stand alone. And it takes just a few leaders to stand up and say, guys, it's worth it because here's what it means. You know, I'm very concerned about what our future is going to hold for my kids. I don't care about my future at this point. I care about the future of my kids, the future of the truth. If we don't get a handle on this, I mean, what happened in Portland to the Weinsteins is obscene and
evergreen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And most people don't know what happened. And they were holding, I mean, it was like France. They were holding little mock trials in the library. People, you know, professors were not allowed to leave. It's frightening.
Exactly. And I really want to say, I think this is important. This may be very hard for people to conceptualize or very hard for people to understand. But once you put in the element of a kind of evangelism to this, it makes sense. The Mike Nina just released a video. If you go to his YouTube channel, it's Mike Nina. One of the things that he shows in this video is how what happened at Evergreen to Brett and Heather perfectly parallels the evangelical or a radical religious fervor.
Yes.
And once you understand that, you understand why people act like that.
Yep. Peter, I would love to have you in for a very long, non-interrupted conversation. Thank you for being on the program. And thank you for taking a stand. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I wish we could have talked to him for another hour at least, but we'll have him hopefully back for a podcast. He's a brave man. All right, LifeLock. I want to talk to you about 700 million people being violated just last week. It was released, I think, this week that 700 million people, that's twice the population of the United States, have had their identity stolen. That's incredible. So all of that information, you may be in that, all of that information is now on the dark web.
Probably are. I mean, odds are there's a good chance of it. I mean, there's...
Because it was a Western hit. Yeah. So it most likely there's a good chance you're in that. Are you protected? Please, please call LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck and save 10% on your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck, or 1-800-LIFELOCK.
You've been helping us do all this research for the Covington story and many others. If you join, thank you. Go to BlazeTV.com/Beck. If you want to get involved as well, use the promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Tonight at 5 o'clock, television, I'm going to show you some things that no one else will show you about who these kids were actually facing, these kids from Covington Catholic School. The stuff that the media just does not want to cover. We have to support these kids. Have to. We don't have to support the school. Maybe you want to. I just got a letter from a father just a minute ago, who said, Glenn, we've been listening to you on the way in. He said, thank you so much for bringing the truth to light regarding Covington Catholic. I feel compelled to tell you the conversation that took place in my car today when I took my son to school this morning. Incidentally, my son attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. I looked over at him, and he looked physically nervous on the ride in. I asked him if he was. He said he was very nervous. I told him, son, you don't have to go to school today. The principal said they sent out last night. No student had to show up for school if they felt uneasy or fearful. Even if the parents were unsure, he understood. He said, my son looked at me and said, Dad, I could stay home, but if I do, the jerks win. I am nervous, but I'm going anyway. Glenn, I just wanted to show you the character of these fine young men at the high school, and I'm so proud to support them and send my son to this school. Dan, I hope the school does stand with you and the Archdiocese. I'd love to support the school in any way. And I would, if the school does take a stand on this and they do come to the right conclusion on this, I would suggest to you that our audience will help you build security that is appropriate for that school. We've done it for Jewish schools. Why we wouldn't do it for a Christian school that I think is going to be under attack for a long time. And we just stand with you. I urge you to stand with Covington as well. You can go to glennbeck.com and there is a Covington Strong t-shirt and hat, and wear it, and wear it proudly, and wear it boldly. And if people ask you about it, don't argue. Just say, have you seen the video? Because let me show you the video. And if people aren't interested in the video, they just want to fight, walk away. But we need to show these guys that we stand with them. And I'd love to get pictures of you when you get your t-shirt in, take pictures of you wherever. And let's overwhelm these students with, you've got fans all around the country. You're not alone. You're not alone. I want to change the subject and play a little bit of what Brett Baer said last night. He was on the way home from a skiing trip with his family, and the car slid on ice and flipped over, and a good Samaritan helped pull the family out, and everyone's okay, but it was a very dicey situation for a while. Here's what Brett Baer said on his return last night.
As we were released from the hospital, I tweeted this. Don't take anything for granted. Every day is a blessing. Family is everything. It's always good to remind yourself of that before something does it for you. Count your blessings. And I meant it.
May I first say, Brett, you have been in my prayers, and I think many in this audience prayers, and he's a good, good man. But it is interesting what he says, and it's easy to dismiss what he says. I said to my wife last week, honey, we have had some real trouble in the last few years. We've really gone through some real difficult times. But I can't tell you the last time that I cried out to the Lord, where I just begged for help. And that usually only happens when you have a crisis in your family. I mean, a real crisis with your children, where you are crying out to the Lord, I'll trade my life for theirs. And that moment puts it all into perspective. I had a situation with both of my daughters here recently. One daughter went in. We thought she had an appendix that was about to go, and brought her in, and it wasn't the appendix. And then we thought it was the ovaries, and thought for a minute that they were going to have to, they had the possibility of taking her ovaries. And I'm like, this is my 12-year-old daughter. It turned out not to be that. It was something else. And I cried out to the Lord. And it is so clarifying, those moments. The next day, my eldest daughter went into the hospital for testing. She has epilepsy, and it's bad. And she's 30, and she's just, she struggles to live an ordinary life. And she just wants them to end. And we've tried all kinds of medicine, and it hasn't worked. And so she went in for a test, and They pushed her and pushed her and pushed her and pushed her to try to get her to have a seizure. She had 3 seizures in the end. She was in for, I think, 7 days, 10 days. And she had such great spirit. But all I wanted to do was be with her the whole time. Now she has to go in for 5 other tests, and one of them will be a minimum of 20 days in the hospital. They do, I don't even know if what they call it now, but a type of brain surgery where they're implanting these wires in her head to be able to monitor it inside her brain. And she's going to have to be awake for the operation, and then 20 to 30 days of testing in the hospital. I don't know. I, as her dad, I want to be there every second of it. And so I have a lot of people depending on that. I show up to work every day, so I will be here. But I ask for your understanding on this. And I ask for your prayers for my daughters, both of them. But I echo the words of Bret Baier. You just don't wait for it to remind you. Let this be your reminder that family's everything. Family is absolutely everything. And we get lost so easily. And when something happens in a blink of an eye, you recognize, like we did at September 11th about our freedom, you recognize, oh my gosh, this is so fragile. It's not always going to be like this. One more thing. I want to thank UT Medical and the Zale Lipschi Hospital for epilepsy. This is the greatest crew of doctors and nurses I have ever experienced. They were unbelievable. These nurses were just incredible, as are the doctors. But modern medicine is a miracle. Before we throw it away, let's just also take a moment and recognize there's no such thing as exploratory surgery anymore. That alone is a miracle. When it comes to costly car repairs, you need some options. Sometimes you're stuck bargain hunting for the best deal because who can afford to fork over $1,000 for car repairs? Also, you can't really put a price on your family's safety with the security on the road. That's why you should have, like I do, extended vehicle protection from CarShield. CarShield will make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair super, super easy. And you can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work, and it's your choice. They also provide 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car while yours is being fixed for free. Now, if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, it doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you right now. Save yourself from financial ruin in car repairs. Get covered in the ultimate extended vehicle protection like I did. 1-800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck, and you're going to save 10%. That's carshield.com, promo code Beck, or 1-800-CAR-6100. carshield.com, promo code Beck. Well, we are not really even in the presidential primary race yet, and we already have 9 Democrats. And do we have a 10th one?
Ninth one today. Yep. Peter Buttigieg.
I love Peter. Huge fan. Buttigieg.
I don't exactly know how to pronounce his name, although people are tossing around many different ones. But he is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. You know, normally if a mayor of a non-gigantic city doesn't enters the race, most people don't take them as serious candidates. I mean, Julian Castro is in the race. He was former mayor of San Antonio. He's been taken relatively seriously. Buttigieg has a lot of support. He would be the first gay president, for example, if he were to win. He's a military veteran. His youngest mayor of a city his size. I think it's over 100,000. And he would be the youngest president ever elected if he were to win. Also, he has had multiple big figures like Barack Obama mention him specifically as one of the future people in the party that to watch. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of he's trying to introduce himself to mm-hmm. everyone. But he does have some support within the Democratic Party. So we have nine candidates now. I was kind of putting them in categories of kind of the favorites. You have a shot if everything goes right. You basically have no shot and no shot at all. So that's what I've gone.
All right.
Five categories. All so right.
no five sh- categories, mm-hmm. nine candidates.
Yes.
How many categories have a candidate in it?
Five categories have a candidate in it. Right. I think like over time, this is going to grow. And I think the interesting part about this is you've got nine candidates now, mm-hmm. but really only three you'd consider generally top tier candidates. So there's going to be, I think
what did we have 20?
There's 17. I think they're going to clear that easily.
I think they'll hit 30.
They may hit 30 candidates mm-hmm. for this thing. I think it's possible. Mm-hmm. So starting off at the bottom, no real shot at all. I would put Andrew Yang. He is a tech entrepreneur, but a guy I think you'd find interesting. Probably wouldn't agree with him on a lot. But he's a guy who's really concerned about what artificial intelligence is going to do to our job markets. He's a guy you've been talking, not specifically, but a guy you've been talking about for a while, who this tech entrepreneur type that is saying, look, AI is going to wipe out all these jobs. We better have universal basic income.
Yeah. In my book, I talked about that candidate. I mm-hmm. said any candidate who says, oh, these jobs, don't worry about it, and I'm going to bring more back, is either a fool or a liar. Because AI is going to wipe jobs out like crazy in the next 10 years. And so I don't know anything about him. I'm sure you disagree
on solutions, but
I disagree with universal basic income. It just doesn't work. However, we do have to have that conversation. He'd be interesting if we had conversations with him.
Concerns are aligned at some level.
Yes, yeah. Because that's at least an honest look at the future.
Richard Ojeda. He's a state senator from West Virginia, or he was a state senator from West Virginia. He's kind of in the race as the, if you remember Webb, who ran a few years ago, he was like a military guy, and he was kind of running as I'm a sane Democrat.
Ojeda was
a former military guy as well, guy, yeah. And that's kind of his position right now. And John Delaney, who's a former Maryland congressman, kind of a rich guy, business guy.
White guy, bye-bye.
Okay, so those are the three. Basically no shot. Mm-hmm. Then we go to almost no shot. And in that category, I have only Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. Now, she is a young Bernie Sanders type, friendly to the camera. She has had some issues with she's the one that her dad ran an anti-gay
thing or
organization level. So she's had some controversy within the Democratic ranks, but mm-hmm. she's very, very super Bernie Sanders liberal, mm-hmm. but not enough recognition. If everything goes right, this category, I've got Julian Castro, who has been talked about as an up-and-coming guy for a long time, mm-hmm. And has some experience. He was head of HUD under Obama. He ran was mayor of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. If there's a miracle situation, like the Hail Mary goes up, could be caught with Julian Castro. And I would say
he'd be really the first Hispanic candidate, because we've never had a Hispanic candidate run, really. I mean, not a serious contender.
Well, and Beto's not in the race yet, so we don't have any other serious Hispanics here.
Yeah. Besides Ted Cruz.
I forgot about him. Peter Buttigieg, who we just mm-hmm. talked about. He, again, because of his sort of, you know, the fact that people like Obama are mentioning him by name, I think you put him in the if everything goes right mm-hmm. category. Then has a shot. Do I really think Elizabeth Warren has a shot? I mean, I can't imagine her winning this primary. She's just so terrible. She's such a bad candidate. Forget her policies. She's a terrible candidate. I can't imagine someone with the same policies can't just beat her. But she's a top tier candidate in that people know her name.
She will never get a lot of money. Well, with Donald Trump.
No,
one-on-one.
She is the dream matchup of Donald Trump.
She is. If you want to, make sure Donald Trump wins, she's the one to pick.
Yes. If you're going to take one of these top tier candidates, mm-hmm. there's no better path for mm-hmm. Trump to win than Elizabeth Warren. And also I put in the has a shot category, Kirsten Gillibrand from New York. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. she has a shot at it because she's a relatively big name and can raise some money. And she was big on the Me Too movement. Her record really changed from sort of moderate to conservative Democrat to I'm Bernie Sanders once she started thinking about running for president, which is an interesting thing that I don't really care about because I think they probably both sucked, both of her personas. But if you're a voter in a Democratic primary, do you really want to take a chance that someone who's once thought of something conservative or moderate could be your president? Like, I don't think they want that. So I doubt it. I doubt she has a chance. She has been very active in the Me Too movement, but that's to the negative because she's being criticized by the left for ousting Al Franken. She was kind of responsible for that. So they don't like her because they liked Al Franken. Who cares if he's molesting people? And the favorites, I would say, the only one favorite I think is in there in that group is Kamala Harris. And she, we've talked about her before, relatively personable, has a prosecutor background, which is, you know, a good matchup for someone who's under pressure
Except
of Donald
you
Trump.
You were on the side of police. So, I mean, that's a little problematic.
A little problematic. She's going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. All right. More 5 o'clock tonight. Glenn Beck TV on blazetv.com/Beck.
You're listening to Glenn.